The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Many of Jesus' disciples who were listening said, "This saying is hard. Who can accept it?" Since Jesus knew that his disciples were murmuring about this, he said to them, "Does this shock you? What if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life, while the flesh is to no avail. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe." Jesus knew from the beginning the ones who would not believe and the one who would betray him. And he said, "For this reason, I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by my Father." As a result of this, many of his disciples returned to their former way of life and no longer accompanied him. Then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to leave?" Simon Peter answered him, "Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe, and we are convinced that you are the Holy One of God." The Gospel of the Lord. Good evening, everyone. I don't get to see you very often. I mostly attend the 10:30 Mass, but it's good to see all of you again. I'd like to share with you a personal story about a challenge that I faced back while I was working with General Motors, which was some years ago. One day while at work, I met a young Hispanic man from Mexico. His name was Eduardo. He was a representative of the Mexican glass company, which provided our windshields for the cars that we made. Eduardo was a nice-looking young man, probably in his late 20s, and we quickly became friends. He told me that he had a girlfriend, that they had not yet planned to get married. I found out he was Catholic, and I invited him to come to Mass here at St. Joseph's, and I told him that I was a deacon, and he was very puzzled, because they don't have deacons in Mexico. But I told him that deacons could do most things a priest could do, especially the sacraments. And I said, "Hey, you know, if you decide to get married, I could come and do your wedding." I said, "Just let me know." Well, lo and behold, months later, he announced the wedding date, and he wanted me to do the ceremony in Mexico. Me and my big mouth. Oh my gosh, what did I get myself into? I thought, I was just trying to be nice to him. This was a challenge? You bet it was a challenge. A major challenge for me. I'd have to quickly learn some Spanish, learn the ritual, compose and give a homily in Spanish before hundreds maybe of Mexicans in their own language, in their own surroundings. Plus, I thought I'd have to spend some $650 in airfare just to make good on this. This was going to throw me way out of my comfort zone. I was in a panic over the very thought. I was afraid of this huge challenge. Over the weeks and months, I tried to come up with every excuse to back out of this, just to walk away from this huge challenge. I prayed to God. I said, "God, please find me a way out, a door open that I can get out of this, a good excuse." Apparently, that wasn't God's plan, because one day I was driving home from work, and a song came that I've never heard before, came on a station I never listened to before. Her name was Nancy Honeytree. She was the singer and composer of this song called Pioneer. The words went like this. "Pioneer, pioneer, keep pressing onward beyond your fear. Only the Father goes before you to your new frontier. You are a pioneer." Those words were speaking to me, speaking to my spirit. And if that wasn't enough, a few days later, I hear over the same radio waves another song which spoke to me again. Be not afraid, I go before you always. You shall speak your words to foreign men, and all will understand. And I read later on from the book of Joshua, be strong and courageous. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord will be with you wherever you go. My friends, I don't take these words lightly. I knew without a doubt that God wanted me to follow through and meet this difficult challenge. And so I did. Believe it or not, everything went well. They got married. Everybody was happy. And I actually got a few compliments on my Spanish. But you know, I was only able, this was a huge mountain for me to climb. Once it was over, I felt very good, but very thankful to God. Because without his help and without his prompting those messages, I could never have done it. Now I ask you this afternoon, are you the kind of person that welcomes a challenge? Or do challenges make you uncomfortable because of the risk or the fear that comes with it? In the first reading, Joshua, the successor of Moses, as leader of God's people, challenged them to renew their commitment to the God who has delivered them out of the bondage of Egypt. And he's about to lead them into a new land. With a new chapter in their national life about to begin, Joshua challenges these very people to a fundamental decision. If it does not please you to serve the Lord, decide today whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people accept Joshua's challenge. Without hesitation, they renew their commitment to the one whose miraculous care and guidance they have experienced. And we hear them reply, far be it for us to forsake the Lord for the service of other gods. Therefore, we will serve the Lord, for he is our God. The gospel also contains a challenge. Following that miraculous feeding of the crowd in the wilderness, John records the long discourse on the bread of life, which we've heard for the last couple of Sundays. And offended by Jesus' stark words about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, exercising their option, many of the disciples returned to their former way of life and no longer accompanied him. Saddened by this, Jesus turns to his inner circle of 12 and challenges them to a decision, much like Joshua did. Do you also want to leave? They say to Peter and the rest of them, he says. And Peter steps up and responds on behalf of all of them. He says, Master, where shall we go? We've got nowhere to go. You have the words of eternal life. Now, I think that Peter was probably just as puzzled by Jesus' words about eating his flesh and drinking his blood as the others who turned away and left. You see, Peter wasn't expressing understanding. He was expressing something deeper. A trusting faith and the willingness to continue further in the challenge of the unknown by placing his trust in Jesus. However hard Jesus demands, however difficult his teaching, Peter acknowledges the bond of friendship that can no longer be broken. That is the substance of true faith, a personal relationship based on trust. The one who asks for this challenges you and me to an unconditioned commitment with no ifs, ands or buts, no strings attached. Now, I agree, that's hard. For many people, it's too hard. Challenged to make such a commitment, many people turn away like the people in today's gospel. Turning away from the challenge, turning away from the loyalty to God it's pretty common today, isn't it? It's called keeping your options open. Many people consider that a key to happiness and personal satisfaction. Jesus calls this the flesh. In other words, the self. The people who turn away from Christ and his teachings are people who want options. Self-serving options. We want options today. Pope Francis recently wrote, "Thinking only of ourselves, this is the father of all evils." Thinking only of ourselves, this is the father of all evils. Options. We want options. Some want the option of sexual freedom. Anything goes. Others want options like living together without marriage. Let's try it out. The options of divorce, if they do marry, are out there. Last year, nearly 1 million people went for the option of abortion, killing the unborn baby. Now, how tragic is that? And then there are those, there are those who call themselves Catholics, but will go out and exercise the option of going to the polls and voting against the very teachings of Christ and his church. I ask you, how can these people call them Catholics? How can they call themselves Catholics? These people might be on the right road, but they're walking the wrong way, away from Jesus. Anytime we reject the teachings of Jesus, we are in reality, just like those disciples in the gospel, turning from him and walking away. The truth is, my friends, my brothers and sisters, that the really big payoffs in life come to people who keep their commitments. If you insist on keeping your options open, on retaining control of your life, you may achieve some measure of fulfillment, but you will not achieve life's greatest reward. That is reserved for those who make a commitment with no strings attached and go for it without any ifs, ands, or buts. In this hour, right now, Jesus is challenging each one of us, just as his namesake Joshua challenged the people of his day. Decide whom you will serve. What is your choice? Will you decide for yourself, keeping your options open? Or will you decide for Jesus Christ? He is asking each one of us the same challenging question he asked Peter and those friends of his. Do you also want to leave? The only words in life worth living are the ones that Jesus Christ gives. The ones that challenge, the ones that ultimately produce the abundant life that he came to give us. It comes down to this. Can we actually say in our hearts, "Lord, you have the words of eternal life. I accept you personally into my life. No ifs, ands, or buts." My brothers and sisters, eternal life is not a self-serving option. It is a gift from a God who has been loved and trusted.